Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
We're pleased to have with us today, Victoria Ndarukwa. Victoria, nice to see you again. How are you doing?
Hi, Robert. It's a pleasure for you to have me. Thank you so much. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great. So Victoria, how about we get started with your background? Let's learn a little bit about your academic past. That I know you have a varied one. So what was your path?
Okay, good. So I'll talk about the education bit and then I'll go on to my career. So I started off, I am a clinical epidemiologist, having qualified with a cum laude degree, master's degree with the University of Stellenbosch, Cape Town in South Africa. I have a background in medical laboratory sciences. I studied this degree at the University of Zimbabwe. I completed in 2006. And currently I am working on my PhD with the University of Stellenbosch, and my project title being Assessment of Postnatal HIV Transmission over the first 6 months, 9 months of life in infants that are born to mothers who are HIV positive, where we are looking at whether the feeding method matters. So that basically summed up my education background. Then
just to ask a few questions here. So from your bachelor's degree at the University of Zimbabwe, did you go right into your degree in Cape Town? Did you pursue some internships or additional work at that point in time first?
Yes. So when I finished my undergrad degree of medical laboratory sciences, I started working at Parinyatwa Hospital. That was in 2006, but I didn't stay in Zimbabwe for a long time. I got a job in Botswana. In 2007, March, and I worked in Botswana for about 10 years or so.
Were you at a regular public medical lab? What was your function when you were there?
I was a general medical lab scientist in Botswana, though I rose up the ranks over time to be a senior medical laboratory scientist before I came, I went back to Zimbabwe to work for a non-governmental organization. So between the time that I finished my undergrad degree and the time that I did my master's, yes, there was an attachment period where we joined one of the laboratories in Zimbabwe for a year. That was at Siemens Laboratory. So it was just basically to prepare us for the real world career. So we did a year, but then we had to go back to school. So that was third year, and we had to go back and finish the final year. But after that, there was no attachment that I had to do. I just went straight into being a medical laboratory scientist qualified.
Okay, and from your period in Botswana, what triggered your thoughts to look towards a master's and additional studies?
Yes, so I have always had a keen interest in infectious diseases. So Botswana is actually one of the countries that is one of the countries that were worst hit by the HIV. Virus. So we had a lot of people who were sick, and I was actually working in a reference lab, national reference lab for HIV in Francistown in Botswana. And that's where my keen interest for epidemiology was awakened. And I had a couple of friends also that were pursuing the degree, that master's degree in epidemiology in Cape Town. So I just thought that it would be the best path for me to follow, and I did exactly that, and I have no regrets.
That's a good thing. So when, from your master's degree in epidemiology, what was your focus at that point? Did you work directly in epidemiology after that upon graduation? Did you go off and do more studies? What was the next path?
So after graduation, I was, like, as I earlier indicated, I moved from Botswana to Zimbabwe, where I joined a non-governmental organization called Association of Public Health Laboratories, where I was working as a senior medical laboratory mentor, where we were helping public health laboratories to strengthen their quality management systems. And it had a lot to do with epidemiology, because we were also working with the Minister of Health on strengthening their HIV program. So yeah, so I would say that it was related to epidemiology. And then after the 5-year contract that I had with that NGO, I then moved here where in Namibia, where I'm currently based. And I am working in the COVID-19 response with the Minister of Health.
Okay. Now, when you say that, you made the switch to epidemiology, and obviously you've been working in there ever since, can you describe a little bit how your degree in medical lab science has helped support your epidemiology career, actually?
Actually, it was an added advantage to have a medical laboratory background for that degree. I actually found that most of the courses that we did in epidemiology were linked to what we learned and experience that I had in the medical laboratory field. So I would say it really helped me. As I indicated earlier, I had a cum laude, and that's not something that should be taken lightly. That the background that I had actually helped me a lot in achieving the high scores that I had during my master's degree.
And in terms of projects that you worked on once you had your epidemiology degree, so obviously you had worked on that program for APHL in Zimbabwe. Yes. But following that, what was your any other types of programmatic experiences that you had with your epidemiology background?
Yes, as I indicated, I'm currently working with the Ministry of Health and Social Services here in Namibia, and my position is funded by CDC. I'm working in the COVID response as a public health specialist, and most of the work that I do is actually epidemiology related. As we all know, COVID is a pandemic. It's an outbreak that has affected a lot of countries. So I'm using my experience or the knowledge that I gained from my degree to strengthen the capacity of the Ministry of Health to prepare and effectively respond to the COVID-19 situation. So I'm doing this by helping them to set up, manage, and support epidemic control, health promotion, disease prevention interventions, and also assisting in policy development and implementation of policies in Namibia.
That's great.
So Victoria, other things, of course.
Yes. And Victoria, I guess be looking for your advice, if you were to share your advice with those who are currently in the medical lab science degree level, mm-hmm. or recently graduated, excuse me. I hope I'm not one of your patients, but
hope not.
what I'm trying to understand is, if we were to give some advice to those who are in the medical lab science field. So obviously a lot of people enter the field with expectations perhaps of moving on into research or staying in academia or perhaps working at the bench level. But there's mm-hmm. just as many people, it seems, that take medical lab science as a stepping stone to something else. You've used it for epidemiology. We recently encountered a few people who used it actually for entrepreneurship and went on to set up businesses based on their learnings in medical lab science. So just curious what your thoughts are and suggestions are for people in that point at their studies where they're trying to figure out what comes next.
Yes, so I have actually been approached by a number of people who are doing medical laboratory science degree, and most of them are actually a bit lost as to what they can do after they've finished their degree. Of course, they know that they can get into the lab, but there is that hunger for more. I think we all know that currently just having an undergraduate degree is no longer sufficient because people are doing masters, like what you said, are going into entrepreneurship, they're going into research and so forth. So what I would really advise them is that you should pursue something that you're passionate about. You shouldn't just go blindly into things just because the other person is doing well. Like I said, I pursued epidemiology, and since the time that I took that path, I have no regrets. It's because it's something that I was passionate about. So I would really advise that these upcoming young scientists, they should take time before they make their next move to really find out what it is that they want in life, as well as even looking for mentorship from senior scientists who are doing well, just to get guidance on what they should do. Because once you choose a certain path, chances that you may be able to get back to where you started off, it may be difficult. And it's also time consuming and so forth. So I would really advise people to look for mentors and be guided accordingly before they make their next move. And also the other thing that I have seen, it's a good thing that you actually asked me what I was doing in between the degrees, whether I went straight into the degrees or there was a gap or where I was doing other things. So that experience, Rob, of having work experience in between the degrees is very important. Some colleges right now, postgrad, are looking for people who have working experience. And it really is an added advantage. Like I said earlier, with my epidemiology, I really found it easy to navigate through the degree because of the kind of working experience that I had, because most of the course content that was there, it's something that I was aware of or something that I'd actually encountered at some point during my work experience. Even the research, I didn't experience so many challenges because I chose a subject where I was directly involved in. So even when it came to approaching the facilities where I had to collect my data, it wasn't difficult. So having work experience is very important. And there's also the tendency of wanting to progress so fast from undergrad to master's to PhD, and then you become a doctor and then you get stuck. Why? Because you don't have the required work experience that most organizations want. And then you are then sort of directed just into academia, of which even that academia, it's also a bit difficult to break into. So it's very important that people invest in themselves and they take their time to map out their ways, their career paths.
And speaking about mapping out their ways, Victoria, can you, as somebody who's had the experience of working in multiple countries, could you describe the process? Because naturally you don't just sort of show up at the border and say, hey, I'm here to work. Can you describe what your processes were like? So both in getting your first positioning in Botswana, and then your student time in South Africa, and now your work time in Namibia. Can you guide us through what that process was like to move from place to place?
Yes, so that's a very important question, Rob. So I was just lucky, I guess, starting off, because like I indicated, I obtained my degree, the undergrad degree in 2006, and I started working in Botswana in 2007, March. So you can see that I just spent just under 6 months in Zimbabwe. Times were difficult then. That's the time when the economic situation in Zimbabwe was not looking good. So there was a lot of brain drain. I'm not very proud of having left Zimbabwe at that time, but things were just not looking up, especially for young professionals. So we just had a certain colleague who linked us up to the opportunity, because at that time, Botswana was having a crisis with regards to management of HIV. They had a lot of people who had been infected, and they needed more healthcare workers. So there was that opening, and then we applied, and then we were called in masses. I remember when we went for the interview, we were over 20 from my class. And it was just exciting times, really. And we managed, the majority of us managed to get through to Botswana, and we were employed. It's not easy being a young person and being in a foreign country as well. But the fact that I had my colleagues, and I also had family that was in Botswana, it was, the transition was not so bad. So I'm one person who doesn't do, is it called job hopping, Rob?
Yes.
Yes. So I take my time to acclimatize to the job that I would have applied for. Like what I said, when you do things that you have committed to do, because sometimes people apply for jobs just because there is money, or just because there are other things that are associated with that job that will make them feel good about themselves. But I was more focused on improving myself and also being in a situation where I can be of benefit to my family back home. So I stayed in Zimbabwe, in Botswana for almost 10 years. And during that time, I was focused. It's quite difficult for a person, especially a foreigner, to progress up the ranks, especially in a foreign land. But I'm glad to say that I managed to be the lucky one. I progressed significantly. I moved up ranks. So I started off in a sort of rural setting, where usually they would send most of the foreign recruits. And then over time, I got to go to the city. And then eventually I ended up at a national, a regional reference lab. So it's not something that is automatic, but if you just put your mind on something and you work hard and you are committed, even your supervisors or your managers will see that this person is committed, and you will get what you deserve. So along the way, you also have to make sure that you are improving yourself, like continuous professional development. It's the time that I took up my master's degree. I finished my master's degree, and then I also did project management professional. It was one difficult program, but I'm glad that I managed to attain that certification. And once I did that, the next move was to go for the PhD. So from Botswana, because there comes also a time when you feel like you have done your best at that level where you'll be. Sometimes you get stagnant and then you feel like you have hit the ceiling. That's the time when you need to move. I always tell my mentees or my colleagues that you shouldn't really get too comfortable in a place such that you feel like if you it's the beginning and the end for your life. You should always have you should continuously push boundaries, but not at a rate that it loses essence. So there came a time when I felt that I had done the best that I could at the position that I was in. It was time for me to move on. That's when now I applied for the mentorship position in Zimbabwe, and then I stayed there for 5 years. I achieved what I wanted to achieve. I gained NGO experience, non-governmental organization experience, which most recruiting companies actually request for when you're applying for jobs. And with that under my back, I then decided to move to join my family that was in Namibia. So that's how I ended up coming here.
So Victoria, just help me understand also, because when you did the transition to Botswana, was there any issues around accreditation or licensure of your status, given that you were obviously a recent graduate in Zimbabwe? Was there anything, any kind of additional examinations or anything that had to be done in Botswana to kind of confirm your status? What was the protocol like at the time?
I wouldn't say there was any examination to confirm my status or my qualification. We just sent in our CVs and our degree transcripts and so forth. The only exam that we had was the entry exam. It was like an interview, but in written format. So that was the only qualifying requirement that was required, that we had to go through. Okay. And after that, we then just registered with the Botswana Health Professions Council.
Great. Okay. Yeah. So just to touch on another point, so you've mentioned family quite a lot, and you've mentioned the ability to connect with other people as you're working there, both colleagues at school and colleagues at work. One of the things we'd like to do is to ask our guests if there's anybody particular they'd like to thank along the way for support throughout their journey. Naturally, you've been through a fairly interesting period of time, both what you went through earlier in the window in Zimbabwe and the situation at the time, as well as your travels in multiple countries and work and studies in multiple countries. So anybody in particular you'd like to say thank you to, any mentors or people that have supported you along the way?
Yes. Rob, I've had so many mentors along the way. My first mentor being my dad. That man is just my hero. From the word go, he has just been a guide for us. By the way, I come from a family of five girls. And you know how it is in our African society, people look down sort of on families that are just made up of girls. So my father, I'm glad that he didn't give up on us by virtue of us being females. He was very inspirational in the way that he lived. And he guided us. He was very strict with us. You know, sometimes I remember when we were growing up, every time we would hear the sound of his horn, the car horn by the gate, we would rush to look for books and sit where he can see us just to show that we were reading. And initially it was like a prank, but it grew up on us. Because he would really instill in us that you will not go anywhere without education. Education is the key to your success. And it wasn't just in talking, he also used to do it. He was a master degree holder. He went to the UK. He was one of the few Blacks who went to the UK during his time. And so we had someone that we could really look up to. So we grew up really valuing our school. I used to be a top student, Rob. I used to be a top student. I would be number one in most of my classes. The reason, what would really drive me towards that, achieving those grades, besides the self-gratification of having such results, was the fact that I would know if I go with a failed result to my father, it would be a disaster. So that was that really pushed us as a family, or as his daughters. My sisters are doing very well. I have one sister that I really look up to who really inspires me. She's the one that I come after. She's an oncologist, and she's currently working at the United Nations as, I don't know, under the radiology department. And she has been so consistent, and she keeps pushing the boundaries. So the more she pushes her boundaries, the more I also push my boundaries. And she pulls us up. She pulls the whole family up. Besides her being the brain child, the brainy one in the family, she's also very spiritual. So she encourages us on the spiritual aspect, and she also encourages us to keep pushing in our careers. So she's also one person that I would really like to thank for the person that I am today. Then I also have mentors that I've had during my master's, and also now as I am doing my PhD. My supervisors, Prof. Mark Cotton and Dr. Moline Sunza, they have been really helpful, and they have taken me under their wing, and they keep pushing me. You know how PhD is sometimes, it's a process, it takes long. And sometimes you feel like giving up because things seem not to be moving, but they are there. So those it's something that really I really feel grateful for their presence in my life. Then my current supervisors or managers at the Minister of Health and Social Services. Special mention of Ms. Yaloma Ningange and Mr. Erwin Nakafingo. You know, it's very difficult when you're in a foreign land, and it's amazing how you find people who have faith in you, who have this, who see beyond what you see yourself, and who keep pushing you to be a better person. So I really thank God that I've had people who are around me who have been so supportive, and without them, I don't think I would have been where I am today.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for that, Victoria. Appreciate it. We appreciate the details about your past and how you how you managed to get through things. And now I appreciate very much your story, and I hope it's one that will connect with people. I know there's, as I mentioned, there's quite a few people in the medical lab science space who are unsure about what their next steps are. So hopefully yeah. This will help guide them in a little bit, or at least give them one of the other options they can consider as a path forward. So, but thank you very much for your time, Victoria. This has been great. We really appreciate it, and we hope to see you again soon.
Thank you so much, Robert, for having me. It's such an honor.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org.